This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Amen. And thanks be to God for this, his word.
Let us pray. Loving God, God of all life, all compassion, all healing, all hope. As we take time now to reflect on your word to us this morning, these words from Mark's gospel, we pray, Lord, that you will quiet our minds and our hearts so that we may truly hear and understand the still small voice of your Spirit speaking into each of us. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who place trust in you. Amen. Today is an extra special day in worship here in Kemnay Church. In our Presbyterian Reform tradition, we affirm and we celebrate two sacraments. We just had one, baptism, and we're about to have the other, communion, or the Lord's Supper. We have just baptized George Charles Andrew, and in a few minutes we will celebrate our togetherness as God's people by partaking of the bread and the cup together as one body of Christ. And I think the best definition of sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible grace, a visible sign of an invisible grace. Both of our sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, they remind us of God's love, God's presence in our lives, and they both invite us to follow in what one friend of mine often calls the Jesus way. I quite like that, the Jesus way. And today we're focusing on the sacrament of baptism especially. All four Gospels in the New Testament have important things to teach us about baptism. We know from historical study that the church did not invent baptism. Instead, it was already a meaningful part of Jewish life and worship well before the church ever came into being. And right before, the start of our passage, we read the following in Mark's Gospel. In verses 4 through 8, it says, "So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan. John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. He said, "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water," John said, "but the one coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So this means that when John the Baptist, a remarkable figure in his own right, when he appeared in the wilderness, clothed as he was, eating what he ate, proclaiming these realities of judgment, repentance, and this need for baptism, he was already offering something very familiar to those who heard and believed him. And then at the start of our reading today, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, we are told. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that no other recipient of John's baptism had this particular sort of experience of heaven being torn open, the Holy Spirit descending down like a dove. This seems to be specific to Jesus' baptism. So when Jesus was baptized, something new happened. But what was new? This was the beginning of Christian baptism. Through the baptism of God's sinless and beloved Son, all Christian believers are invited to participate in Jesus' own ministry and are grafted into Christ's body, which is the church. Anybody actually know what the word Christian means? It's a word we hear all the time, right? But it literally means little anointed one. Or even more literally, little Christ. A Christian is called to be a little Christ. In other words, baptism is the beginning of the Christian life, of becoming more and more like Jesus, of living and walking in the Jesus way. To be sure, the Bible also teaches us that God knows us before we are even born, Jeremiah 1:5, loves us before we can even begin to love God in return, 1 John 4:19. But Christian baptism is the formal start of living into the Christian life, responding to God's amazing grace. We first enter the Jesus way through the waters of baptism. In and through Jesus Christ, these waters confirm that George Charles Andrew is God's beloved child. It affirms this great reality, a co-heir with Jesus, with whom God is well pleased. But back to Mark's gospel. By design, Mark's gospel does not waste time. In fact, one of the most common words in Mark, we read through this gospel, is the word we translate as immediately. Immediately this happened. Immediately this happened. We read this gospel at a gallop. We should be filled with a true sense of urgency when we read Mark's words. And this urgency is front and center in today's passage when it says, "At once," or "immediately," the Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals and the angels attended to him. This gives us a rather dramatic mental image. After his baptism, there was no time to bask in glory, no time to rejoice. It says immediately after Jesus was baptized, immediately after he heard, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," the text tells us that the Holy Spirit sent him out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. Now, much to my great annoyance, most English versions of the Bible are far too soft in their translation here. They're far too soft. To my knowledge, the Message, which is a rendering of the Bible in modern English, it does the best job of capturing the meaning of these verses. The Message puts it this way. After his baptism, at once the same Spirit pushed Jesus out into the wild. Want to be even more rough and tumble? The Spirit chucked him out into the wild. Right? Isn't that a vivid picture? Pushed out into the wild. And in Mark's gospel, the references to wilderness, to Satan, and to Jesus being with the wild animals and beasts, it tells us that after his baptism, Jesus was pushed into direct confrontation with a world aligned against God. And Jesus had to face this head on. And this text and the other gospel texts tell us that Jesus was severely tempted by Satan in every way, bodily, mentally, and most of all, spiritually. And this contest was not a farce. Even the Son of God had to face the reality of our fallen world, of the real possibility of giving in to temptation. And the same can be said about our Christian baptism as well. Baptism marks us as belonging to Jesus Christ. And like our Lord, we too are pushed out into the wild of a very broken, very hurting, and sinful world. Now, Christian baptism, it does not itself save us. It does not protect us from the hurts and trials of human life. Oh, how sometimes I wish that it did. Instead, Christian baptism is meant to remind us that we belong, body, mind, and soul, to the triune God, no matter what comes our way. As a visible sign of God's invisible and amazing grace, Christian baptism affirms the great truth that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yet at the end of verse 13 in Mark's gospel, Mark includes a subtle and important point. It tells us when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted, angels attended to him. So even amid his own temptation, his own exhaustion, God the Father did not abandon Jesus. And the same is true for us. No matter what we face, God promises us that we will not face it alone. God does not promise to spare us from trouble, but instead God promises to be profoundly with us in and through what we face, and even using what we face to fashion us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. God can use every part of our life to make us more holy, more like Jesus. And as we've heard this morning, baptism is the formal beginning of the Christian life. God already loves us. God already claims us. But baptism is a special sign. We are baptized into our Lord's baptism. And as was the case with Jesus, the Holy Spirit pushes us out as well to face a world very much in need of redemption. And after his baptism and temptation in the wilderness, Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has drawn near. Repent and believe the good news. For those of us who are baptized into Christ, God calls and equips us to follow the Jesus way in the wilderness. And as we go into the wilderness of the world around us, the message we are called to share is the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, literally, turn around and believe the good news of Jesus. God knew George Charles Andrew before he was even born, loved him more than we can ever understand. But today, he has started his own baptismal journey. This journey will continue throughout his earthly life, and his baptismal journey will not be completed until his life's end. It is all lifelong. And so we welcome him into this journey of faith. And with his parents, his godparents, his grandparents, and wider family, we promise to make this journey with him. So may God give us all the grace we need to continue our own baptismal journeys as we follow in the Jesus way together. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, all are welcome to take part in communion today. There is room at this table for all who desire to love and follow Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Here in Kemeny Church, we partake of communion together by first passing out the bread. We hold it until all have been served, and then we take it together. We then pass out the cup. We hold it until all have been served, and we take that together. And this bread and this cup, as we've heard, are visible signs of an invisible grace. Along with baptism, these elements are anchor points for our lives as Christians. Time and again, we gather at this table to remember Jesus Christ, to give thanks for his saving death and resurrection. And the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the greatest sign we have of God's faithfulness to us and to all who believe and trust in his name. So as we gather together for this sacrament, we do pray for a true sense of unity with God, with each other, and with the church throughout the world. May partaking of this sacrament inspire us anew to live out our faith in our world, so that others around us will come to know and trust the goodness and love of God in their lives. So I invite you to join me now in the responsive call to the table. Come to this table not because we must,
but because we may.
Not because we are strong,
but because we are weak.
Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right,
but because we need mercy.
Come, because we love the Lord a little.
We'd like to love him more.
Come, because he loves us.
He gave himself for us.
Come and meet the risen Christ.
We are his body.
Loving God, we come before you as your children, as those whom you have called, claimed, and redeemed in Jesus Christ. We confess that in of ourselves we are not worthy to receive you, but at one word from you, you make us whole and have renewed us. As we prepare to take of these elements together, of this bread and this cup, may we be joined in true unity with you, with each other, and with the church throughout all time and all place. And as a sign of our faith in you, we now join our voices together in the words that the Lord Jesus taught us, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the words of institution recorded for us by Paul the Apostle, who writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's saving death until he comes again." And in response to Christ's saving actions for us, we do declare together, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ broken for us. Do this in remembrance of Jesus.
Thank you.
Friends, this cup is the new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Let us now show each other a sign of peace.